Well, let's open our Bibles back to Romans tonight. And God willing, it's on to chapter 7. And to begin with, as you open up to the 7th chapter of Romans, I'd like to go ahead and read from Galatians 3:13 to kind of establish a little bit what we've been encouraged of so many times in one way, shape, or form in the first 6 chapters. But in Galatians 3:13, it says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us." So we praise Him and we give thanks that He became the sinner, the ransom that had to be paid. It could only be through His blood. He became sin for us who knew no sin. And thanks be to God, whom He has made free, is free indeed. Now go on over to Ephesians chapter 2. And in Ephesians chapter 2, and in verse 15, now I want you to see how done this is by the grace of God. He wants you to understand when He says finished, it's finished. Now, in Ephesians 2, 15, it says, well, let's back up to 14. I love that one too. Again, we'll go right back to Ephesians 1, 1, and we'll be reading all the way through it. But in Ephesians 2:14, it says, "For He is our peace." Praise be to God. Isn't that wonderful? So tonight, you know what? We got peace. Matter of fact, He is our peace. Hallelujah. "Who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." Now here we go. "Having abolished in His flesh the enmity." Isn't that beautiful, His flesh? In His flesh. Boy, my flesh, whew, couldn't get anything but muck and yuck in that. But boy, in His flesh. Oh, what flesh. Can you imagine to touch Him and hold Him? Praise be to God in those precious hands. "But having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments," listen to this, "contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself," see, in Christ, in Himself, "of twain one new man, so making peace." See, we have one new man. It's Christ in us. It's us in Christ. Praise the Lord. I am so thankful to God that it's His body. He's in us and He lives in us, brothers and sisters, and we are His body. Praise God. "And," here we go, "that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." Yes, hallelujah. Praise God for this precious realm of grace. Where there is no law, there is no sin. I am just so grateful to rejoice in that. Now, going back to Romans. And as we journey into chapter 7, no longer is grace focused as the 6 earlier chapters have been focused on how it's defeated sin. But now grace turns its sights on the law. So let's go ahead and read verse 1, chapter 7. "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth." So notice here, right off the bat, again, he is speaking to brethren, Gentile brethren here, of course, that had Pharisee influence in their teaching. He puts in those quotation marks, "I speak to them that know the law." I was driving by a Christian church the other day, had such a precious verse. And then right below, "Remember the Ten Commandments." And I thank God for these things. But there's an appropriate way to remember the Ten Commandments. And there's an appropriate praise and a thanksgiving that's beyond in praising God for those Ten Commandments in their proper place. And hallelujah, the proper place is nailed to the cross. That's our rejoicing. That's the thanksgiving to God that He has fulfilled. See, we rejoice and give thanks and praise to the captain of our salvation. Hallelujah. And he is. And we're grateful to God for that. But you can hear the hint here in this first verse that he is speaking to these brethren that have some influence of legality. You can catch that right off the bat. And the Spirit through Paul, once again, is going to nip that in the bud. I think about Paul as every time he'd be speaking, you best get ready. Grace is coming forth. And that's exactly what he would preach, is the word of his grace. And thanks be to God again that it continues to go forth. But we see how beautiful here. We are reminded how we are delivered from sin. I thank God for that. I am delivered, and I thank the Lord that we were crucified with Christ. We died with Jesus Christ. By the blood we entered into his death. And now, again, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And it's a realm, brothers and sisters, that we rejoice in that freedom, in the liberty wherewith we are called, that there is, again, the place of no law. And where there is no law, there is no sin. And now we're off and growing in the grace of God. So it sets the table for us once again. And here we go with another layer of what the Lord wants to teach us in this. Again, this is line upon line and precept upon precept. And I thank the Lord again. This just brings more light upon light and more rejoicing as we go forth and understand the power of Christ in you, the hope of glory. So here we go, verse 2. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he lives. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband lives, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? We're in the realm of grace, brothers and sisters. Don't go after the lies. That ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Notice those shoulds. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Praise God. Do you think about the fear that those were under during that time when the law was what was prevalent? Think about that. Think of those times. My goodness, those Amorites or Imrods or whatever they would call it, they would be sent sometimes. And I'll tell you what, you know, they come down, they're worshiping a calf, and how many thousands died just like that? Yep. And there was a lot of fear then. But see, the blood, those that looked to the blood even back then, in that perfect love, it cast out all fear. And I thank the Lord for those things. But here what we just read is the Lord uses marriage as an illustration. A woman cannot be married to two men or she's an adulteress. It just doesn't work. As long as her husband lives, she must be his alone. And the only thing that could ever free her from her husband is death. And if he be dead, then she is loosed, she is free from the law, and she can marry another man. And matter of fact, the word of the Lord says here, she should be married to another man. So it is the same with us, brothers and sisters. We were all once dead in sin. We were born in it. We were shapen in iniquity. We understand that. In that dead state, all the fruit that we had was dead fruit. All the members of my body, all they could do was bring forth death. But God. But God. Isn't that wonderful? That's what he takes. And it's all going to be his son. But God. And I love how he says it. But now. See, but God, but now. Now, he delivered us now from the law by the blood, that we should serve, that we should yield to the newness of spirit, that the life of Christ in you, the hope of glory, the life of Christ in you, the hope of glory, that all-powerful, praise be to God, new man. And think about that again, that new man. Again, as we read about that flesh of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you think about that new man. He was tempted. He was tried in every way, praise be to God, and reigned victorious over all things that we will ever face or that we will ever feel in our life. And that's the life that lives in us. And that power, brothers and sisters, of believing God, the power of faith, hallelujah, because of the love of God, it's growing in our lives. And as it says here, that we should not no longer serve the letter of the law. I want you to go over with me to Romans 8, and let's read verses 3 through 5. I just can't help but getting a little bit ahead. We have to peek. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh, they do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now go over to Romans 11:6. Let's rejoice just a little bit further. This precious little verse here. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Amen? See, now let's listen to that again. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. How much more clear could the Word of God be? That truly this is a life that lives in you and reigns in you by His grace. And He will cause you to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now you step out in faith, but faith is what? It's the Word of God, isn't it? You step out in faith. And it's just like we were reading the last couple weeks. It does, just because all things are lawful, even though I'm in the realm, doesn't mean everything's beneficial. Now we know the Word of God will always benefit us. Amen? Amen. So in other words, when we step out in things that benefit us, we know we're going in the Word of God. When we step out and these things do not benefit us, we know we've made steps away from the truth. We're not yielding to the truth. We're fighting against things. Matter of fact, it's just basically what we're doing is we're giving over to lies. But do you see what this is? And I pray to God that we really get this. You and me trying to perform the law only brings weakness. When we try to perform the law, it brings weakness, does it not? Amen, amen, amen. Think about how many times in your life that you, after you were a Christian, and I might even be talking about last week, I don't know, but you've had something going on and you're going to get it done. You're going to be accountable. You've already lost. You have. That's something that you cannot do. And I thank God for that. When we rely on the power of the new man, it's finished. And in that absolute confidence that it's Christ in me, it is truly the power of Christ living in me. My goodness, that grace can allow me to live victoriously in the life that I now live. We all can testify to that. Amen? There's things in our life we know. Praise God. But see, that's something that we're so easy to forget. I was almost going to send something off to a brother today, but I just felt, oh, the Lord stopped me. Just a sweet thing. Count your blessings. after he told me all of the woes. But it's true, isn't it? Meditate on the lovely things, the good report, all the things that he's done for us. Didn't we read that over and over in the Old Testament? You know, the ones that remembered the mighty hand of God, that he's always faithful, that he always waits to the last minute, that he's never going to do it when you want it. You'd think they'd just sit around and rejoice, but it's just like us. Well, I know he did this last week, but man, I got to have this done now. Huh? That's why we need to lift up those weary hands of one another, brothers and sisters, because we are in this weak flesh. But see, God is able, and he is so good to us in reminding us that he is faithful and true. But see, when we try to perform the law, it brings weakness. And what happens when we try to perform the law, the reason it brings weakness is because the law exposes sin. Amen? The law exposes sin. We know that. And just like the complete failure we are, just like Paul finds out, as we're going to read here in a minute, he was a complete failure. And this is a testimony of Paul's as we go on in chapter 7 here, that I can't get it done. No matter how much I know, no matter how much I want it, I can't get it done. Praise God, I can't get it done. Let me tell you something. The Father's going to magnify one, and that's going to be his Son. The only thing he's going to magnify in you and about you is the new man, his Son, Christ in us. And thanks be to God that Christ in us performed it all. He performed it all. He will perform the good work which he has begun, but he already lived all that. He already completed all that. So I thank God it's all grace. Yes, he fulfilled it all and fulfilled it in us too. And that's where great faith, brothers and sisters. But it is the faith like a child. A child just believes. But that's the faith that the mature sons of God have. They just believe like a child. Brothers and sisters, we're righteous. Fully righteous. But what he wants now is for us to grow up fully in his righteousness. And how does that happen? By giving over and yielding to who you are in Christ, the new man. The new man. And it's not just a good fluffy thought, it's reality. Your life that lives in you is Jesus Christ. And every bit of that life is there. Every provision, every bit of the power of that life, it's there. And praise God for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I, again, was rejoicing so much. And Esther, when we just read that little, I think it was 2:9, when that Holy Ghost just basically gave her the things that were already hers. Again, showing her those things. That's the Holy Ghost, brothers and sisters. And that's why we need the infilling of the Holy Ghost, but that's why we need to be full of the Holy Ghost. Because we're weak. We are very weak. And I can only testify of following by his grace, Paul, as he followed Christ, I am glad I speak more than ye all. Now, I'm not comparing that. I'm quoting him in saying that. Do we get it? There's power in that. That's not, in a sense, the thing we want to go after fully. The Spirit is so vast in all of that precious fruit that's there. But praise be to God, let me tell you something. There's no joy that I know like praising the Lord with my God-given language. And you know it. I can ask these kids, even up at church camp and all, bring my sons up here, and they'll tell you they're nothing like it. Nothing like it, because they're nothing like the power of the Holy Ghost. And we need it. And there was a reason it rang through Paul, and I'm not ashamed of preaching that. I know there's ones that, oh, well, you know, they'll just run after that. Well, you know, they said the same thing with grace, too. You preach them too much grace and they'll go nuts. Yeah, you know what? Go nuts. It's about time. Amen. And I'm talking about with divine grace, that you'll grow up in it, that you'll realize the power of Christ that lives in you, that yes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, that he divinely appointed these giants in the land. Every single one, praise be to God, was an exact appointment. And it wasn't there to defeat me. It was there to show the faithfulness of God. And I am grateful that the Lord is bringing these things to light and exercising these things in our life. But brothers and sisters, we can grow up fully in his righteousness by yielding to the new man and not being led around by the lusts of the flesh. See, without the confidence in the new man, the alternative is only one thing. You will be led around by the lusts of the flesh. You can think that you're confident in you, and we're going to read that about Paul here in a minute. There wasn't anybody that could keep the law in a sense as a man like Paul. Oh, he was really good at it. You saw him in his outward appearance. Wow, that guy really knows how to keep the Ten Commandments. You know, he's just doing great. But God, and but now, don't want to jump too fast, but let me tell you something. God nipped that one too. See, we need to know and believe who we are in Christ. Amen? In Christ. And that's, praise God, something that until the last breath, and then I get a body like unto his own glorious body, and then I get to know all more about that in the exceeding ages to come and the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness to me. So that's what we're waiting for there. But that's the power, brothers and sisters, is who we are in Christ. And really, the power of who we are in Christ is it's finished. That's the power. Did you know that? That's the power, that it's finished, that it's done, that the victory has been won. Again, we go back to you're more than conquerors through Christ who loved you. Well, you know, when you're no more than a conqueror, it's because the victory's already been won. Praise God. It's not a run through again, but yet he finished it, and it's done, and the victory has been won. Thank God for the confidence that we have in our Lord and Savior. All right, now let's go verses 7 through 14. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taken occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taken occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Isn't that precious? You can't. Man can't. We're doomed without the Lord. And that is exactly how God established it and set it up. The only life that anyone will ever live is the life of Jesus Christ. And I thank him so sweetly for that simplicity, that it is going to be that life. But as we started reading here in verse 7, the law is not sin. And what the law did, as it's saying here it again, is it exposed sin. It made evident sin. And it made evident the magnitude of sin. It made sin even more sinful. It really did. It showed how evidently sinful sin is. And just as it did for Paul, when he thought he was keeping the law, God made it evident through the law that Paul's whole life as he was trying to keep the law was nothing but coveting. That's all it was. His whole life was trying to keep the law. Nobody could keep the law, even though he didn't, from an appearance sake, like Paul. Nobody tried as hard ever as Paul. He was it. They magnified him. Those Pharisees, all of those law-trying sinners. It's exactly what it is when you're law-trying. So that's what that was all about. And Paul was made the chief a sinner. And I can hear the Lord tell him this loud and clear, thou shalt not covet. Man, that hit Paul. And I love how it hit him. Sin had completely consumed Paul, and the law, the commandment came, and sin was made evident, and praise be to God, he died. And I appreciate it how Sister Bodie points out, see, the law does not give life to man. Did you hear that? The law does not give life to man, as so many would like to think. And that's what they think. They think that somehow by going after the law, going after the Ten Commandments, that's what's going to make you right and that's what's going to make you better. The only life that the law brings is it brings sin to life. And that's the truth. It just brings it to life. It makes sin more evident, I should say. So what Paul does is he cries out and he says, I was deceived by sin, trying to keep the law on my own until finally I saw my absolute helplessness and I called upon the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And that was it. And that's how God dealt with him. And then there in verse 12, it's so wonderful because it says that the law is good and just. And the reason the law is good is because it showed Paul up. The law showed Paul really what he was. And that's why the law is so good. It made light to whom and what Paul sought. It convicted him and pointed out to him. And it points out to us that Paul was the chief of sinners. Now, I've heard people say that Paul was the chief of sinners because he went out there and tried to kill Christians. That's not why he was the chief of sinners. There are many people who went out there and killed Christians. Paul was the chief of sinners because he was the most devout and persevering in trying to keep the law in his own strength. Do you know that? There wasn't anybody more devout and persevering in their own strength to keep the law, and that by doing that without Christ. And see, anyways, that's not what we would do in Christ. We don't try to keep the law in Christ. We just count Christ as the faithful one that did it all. He finished it. He nailed it to the cross. But in doing that, in seeking that law in his own strength, he presented himself as the king of self-righteousness. He was the king of self-righteousness. And in being the king of self-righteousness, he was the most putrid thing to God, and therefore Saul was crowned at that time the chief of sinners. Do you see that? How clear, how beautiful the Lord again points out our goodness is wickedness to God. And when we think that we can, see, that's what I'm saying. See, Satan, that's what got him all thrown out. He lifted himself, magnified himself above God. Well, that wasn't going to happen. And get that dirty thing away from me. And he was cast out, gone. Those angels that wanted to follow him, gone. And He's not going to look upon that kind of a thing. It's abominable to God, our stinking, dirty self-righteousness. And you understand, brothers and sisters, we're in the realm of grace, and that's just a lie anyways. So here we go as God explains this to us. But see, brothers and sisters, we cannot, the law cannot be blamed for our failure. And don't do that. There's people that will try to twist this again. And that's not people anyways. That's just spiritual wickedness. But the law, again, is holy, just, and good. The law did not bring sin and death because in the law's keeping, there is life. In the law's keeping, there is life. But you can't keep the law. And I can't keep the law. And no man but one could ever keep the law. And he is the one that brings life because he is life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So see, man can't do it. And again, it was all established to magnify only one, and the only one who could do it and fulfill the law is Jesus Christ. And it takes that life, because that's the only life that lives. It takes that life living in us by grace through faith in the name of Jesus to be imputed his very own righteousness and have the life that is free from sin and death. Praise God. And there you go, if you really allow the Lord to add that up. You see, the greatest reason for the law was to magnify Christ. Magnify the need, the absolute need, undisputable, vital, the magnificent need of Jesus Christ, the only one that could fulfill the law, and the one who nailed the law to the cross for you. Praise God. So, I am thankful to God, again, how the Lord, through the Spirit, enabled Paul to bring forth this word. And you can see that there's no holes in this. There's no gaps at all. It's grace. And it's either grace or it's works. So you're going to go one way or the other. It's either going to be, again, the Spirit, or it's going to be flesh. So there's no in-between. And they're vast. They're so beyond separated and different from different realms, you can't mix the two. So as we conclude here, the law is spiritual, but man is carnal. And without Christ, brothers and sisters, man can only fulfill the lust of sin that abides in his flesh. That's it. That's why we need to feed the new man. That's why we need to be in the Word of God. That's why when we just run around fluffy stuff and things like that and appearances of it and, you know, where we could sing till we're blue in the face and these types of things, we need to feed that life. Need to feed that life. And that life needs to grow. And it grows in grace. And it grows in thankfulness and gratitude. And again, it's that life that grows is that he increases and we decrease. So that's the life that we're after. But see, we're doomed but for Jesus Christ living in us. And again, it's wonderful because it is all about Jesus. And brothers and sisters, that's where the Word of God tells us that to let our minds be captivated truly in believing the Word of His grace. We cannot be distracted. We need to tend upon the things of the Lord. And here it is, the Word of God. This is the things of the Lord without distraction. When we get distracted, is basically getting our eyes off the Word of God. And when we get distracted, we get into the lies. And the Word of God tells us clearly that, again, iniquity begets iniquity. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. They did run well. You know, and again, Paul was just shocked with those Galatians. You know, you ran well, and so soon, you were so excited in the Word of God, but so soon, who hath bewitched you? Who brought in this stuff? How could you let this come in? Well, I'll tell you how you let it come in. You go by feeling. You're not satisfied with just the Word of God, that beautiful, wonderful Word. You start looking to other things that are going to try to satisfy you. You're not willing to endure. You're not willing to, again, abide in a state where you wait. We don't accept the patience. And patience has to have her perfect work. We get anxious. We start to look with our eyes. I am grateful to God that we have a good little handful of folks. But what happens if people start not coming? Do we change the message? God help us and God forbid. It's not about how many come. It's about is Jesus magnified in the fullness of the gospel of Christ. That's it. So, we've come this far. Amen? Isn't it wonderful? And through Christ, praise God, we can finish with a full joy because he wants us to. And we don't need to grow weary at all in well-doing. We're going to be battered. We're going to be tried. And we're going to have familiar ones, our loved ones, and at times get a little bit faint. But that's when you lift up hands. And by the grace of God, you might be a little bit faint, and they'll lift up your hands too. So praise God for these things. But brothers and sisters, it's the word of his grace that's going to strengthen the inner man. And the Lord help us to attend to those things and to focus on those things. All right, let's go to verse 15 and we'll read through the end of the chapter. For that which I do, now this is Paul again, and I love this testimony that he gives. I mean, he's not trying to paint a pretty picture here. He's just telling you, if you're going to paint your own picture, it's ugly. And the one picture that you need is Christ in you, the hope of glory, and that's it. And that's the picture that it is. For that which I do, he says, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now it says that there once. See, it's not him, it's that sin. All right? For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Two. Okay, here we go. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Isn't that wonderful how he brings that in? See, he doesn't delight in the law or the will of God in any way, shape, or form. But you know who does? Christ in you. See how powerful? But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So I believe we can all say what we got here and what Paul's saying, that we got a battle. Amen? Amen, we do. Yeah. Praise the Lord, and it's the most precious battle to God because that's how he did it. It wasn't a mistake or an accident. Again, he put that new man, and he put him in the weakest, most unreliable, prone to failure, non-loyal vessel there could ever be. You know, it's just amazing. I was thinking about my dog and how that dog is a good dog. It's a dog. And all my little Belle can be is a dog. Sometimes tries to be human, I think, but she's really a dog. And then here's us humans. We don't even know what we're going to be. We can be a lot of different things. The thing that Christians really have a hard time being is who they really are in Christ is that new man. And you've heard me make the statement, as the Lord so convicted my heart many years ago, just be. Just be. Praise God. And that is the new man that lives in us. But see, we are sinless, brothers and sisters, in Christ. Christ in us is perfect. Conquered all the sin for my life and for yours. But sin is still in the flesh. And making this very, very clear. And see, that's what he's saying here in verse 17 and verse 20. When I fail, and when you fail, that is really not you. It's not me. Now, that is not the big cop-out phrase to say, well, see, that wasn't me, so there's nothing to talk about. No, there is something to talk about. It's called yielding. And We want that precious testimony. We want that growth. And that, again, goes back to the growth of righteousness in you. And it's not the growth of you keeping the Ten Commandments. It's the growth of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Yielding and watching and giving all the glory to the new man as he comes forth in your life. That it isn't you. And I thank God for this. And that's what's so beautiful about it. You know. God may have given you some natural things that you really had to overcome, that you were sweet in a few, but you weren't sweet in anything. We've gotten that one. But naturally speaking, there's some that come out maybe a little bit sweeter naturally in a way than others. But God's got to bring you through that to realize that, no, you're not. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's no goodness in you. And that sweetness, I'll tell you what, it will be something that'll stumble your life with the Lord if you rely on your sweetness. Do you know that? Sometimes it's the dirty, rottens, like Brother Hill used to tell about his life. I had no problem understanding that was Christ in me that did that. You know, the guy that shot his brother, the guy I was just over in his, I always love to go through Weston, I have to, as he pointed that street out, and I love that when he got drunk that night and there went all his clothes and he come home, and I think about him walking up that hill. And I love those stories. They're precious to me. Not looking on what the man he was, but the man, praise God, in Christ he hoped to be. And grow in that, and grow in that grace, and thanking God for those things. And I'm grateful to God. And that battle goes on all of our lives, brothers and sisters. But that battle will always overtake us unless we rely on the new man. The new man. And praise God for that. And see, I need to rely on the new man that's in you too, and everybody here that's a Christian. Believe I know everybody here pretty much tonight. I know you're Christians. I have to rely on the new man in you too. The new man in me got to rely on that new man in you. And not become condescending and judgmental in those types of things. We understand and stand in the Word of God. It's not a free-for-all. It is not. All things are not beneficial. The only beneficial things are when we're going in and on in the Word of God. And this is what the Lord has encouraged in that new man, which is the Word that lives in us. So see, brothers and sisters, when we fail, it's really not us. It is the sinful flesh. It's the corruptible that we are walking around in. All right? So we all have a battle. Praise be to God. But, it's not who I am in Christ. That failure. That's not who I am in Christ. I am justified. And right now, a perfect, precious child of the King. Now again, that is not an excuse to fail, brothers and sisters. Matter of fact, it's the complete opposite. It's the reason to be quickened and mature and live the overcoming life. Amen? That's what that is. See, in really yielding and understanding as we grow in this great grace of Christ liveth in me and is growing in me and feeding that life, praise be to God, I am going to go from glory to glory into the very image of Him. It's going to manifest itself. It's going to come forth. That's why, praise be to God, those four living ones, the bride of Christ, those are the ones that are like Him. That's like the one that's showing John, the one who put his head upon Jesus' breast, showing him all around up there in Revelation. All through those precious, wonderful events that will be, that are about to come. And ever so often, John starts falling down in worship. Oh, you're just too much. No, now get up, John. I'm just like Him. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that wonderful? Praise be to God, this is what this is. But that's the overcomer, brothers and sisters. And it is. It's just so, what great a love wherewith we are loved. Now, verse 18. Let's go read that again. What a testimony to us. For I know that in me, see, that's in you and me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Get that. Praise the Lord for that. You are so primed then to praise His Son for all the goodness. You see that? Don't hang on to any thought of any goodness you have naturally. Don't. It will defeat you. It will eventually come. Get it over with now. Praise the Lord. Throughout my life, I have had that trial in some respects. I'm glad if somebody remembered me as sweet. Not many did. But, or helpful, or whatever it was. But that's got to go. Did we read this again? I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. If you can't get over that, you're hanging on to some self-righteousness. Huh? That's right. I had to keep telling my mom. She'd always call me her joy boy. I said, no, mother. I'm going to show you. No, I love my mom. But I know that the joy that truly is the joy is because of the Lord. You know, the Lord gives us our children, praise be to God. And then as our children go on with the Lord, what? There's no greater joy. And thank God for that. But, as it says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. Oh man, we're all willing, aren't we? But how to perform that which is good? You can't find it. You can't get her done. So give it up. Quit chasing your tail. And that's really what it is. And I thank the Lord. Again, God is set it up one way. You're going to magnify my Son. That's what's going to please me. And that's what's going to perform it in your life. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? And it, you know, as you get this, and I thank the Lord, you kind of shake your head. Oh, Lord, why did I make it so hard? But it had to be that way. Yes, it did. Didn't have to be that way, but it had to be that way. And how God has taken us this way. And that's what's so encouraging. And that's what's so beautiful, brothers and sisters. And that's why it's so wonderful. Anybody who's going after the Lord and taking the chastening as we go. You know, it's just like ones that grew up and say, oh, yeah, they were just good all the way. And they grew up in the church. And they did, you know what? They have to get rid of that too. Do you know that? Do. I can testify of that. I thank God for what He kept me from, but I still realize that verse 18 sure applies to me just as much as it does for anybody here. And if I don't have that, I don't have the rejoicing that somebody that really understands it, that may have had such a corruptible life. It doesn't mean that we have to come out of drugs and we have to come out of alcohol, but if you did and you're running for God's best, praise be to God. But it was no different. There was no goodness in you. There was no goodness in me or anybody. So these are the things that we rejoice in, is that, again, it's that one new man. That's it. And I thank God He's just the same. We are sons of God. So, He must increase and I must decrease. And again in verse 20, encouraging himself and who he is in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Now if I do that, I would not. It is no more that I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. See, you have to come to that too. That's a rejoicing. Not rejoicing that you're sinning, that you're failing. I mean, a sense that you're failing. But rejoicing that, praise be to God, that's not laid to my account. Oh, man, doesn't that hit you? To know how you're loved, that's chastening too. Yes, it is. When you know you should get it, and I mean really get it, and God just, you're my son. That's when it starts to take over in your life. That's when you start to say, oh, I love you. And love changes things. Love changes everything. Just gives you chills thinking, we've all come the same way because it's the same love of God. Amen. And that's how we change, see. But Paul's encouraging himself there that it is a battle. He's encouraging himself, too, that it is frustrating. I see what I need to do as a Christian, but this flesh is just so strong. These desires can be so overwhelming, but I do understand, Lord Jesus, you are my life. You are my life. And that is but a lie. That is but a lie. And this flesh, as this word tells us, it carries the reminder around of the law of sin and death. It is. It's always present with us, brothers and sisters. And that, again, is no accident there. It's fully there for us. I love it. It's the camel. That's the camel. The camel, those aren't trials. That camel is your flesh. And you've got to ride that camel. Yes. And yes, I will say that. And that camel is one big trial. But it's your flesh, and you're not going to ride any other camel but you. I got my shoes. Nah, this I'm telling you, we're gonna walk, taking a walk. But that camel must be rode across that desert if you're going to win the bridegroom. And brothers and sisters, if it is the bridegroom, the flesh must be conquered. Now, I always remember how Brother Hill would tell us about how they went to Egypt and they rode those camels and they would hiss and spit, they would bite, they stunk, they were uncomfortable to ride, everything about them. But it was the only thing that was going to get you across that desert. You could have a really fine horse that with a great saddle, and man, that thing could ride and it could stride and it could run out there, but it's dead after a while and the horse ain't going to work. Mules ain't going to work, all them things ain't going to work. Only thing that's going to work is your camel. Isn't that something? And it stinks, and it bites, and it spits, and it does all these things. But praise be to God, it's just what you needed to get you crossed to the bridegroom. How many times have we rejoiced in it? Everything about you, honey, everything that you don't want to be about you is the perfect weakness that's brought you here tonight to say, I want to be in that Bible study to hear about Christ in me, the hope of glory. How wonderful. Isn't he perfect? Praise the Lord. Getting our eyes open to it. So, and how is that flesh conquered? By not focusing on the flesh. How many people want to focus on the flesh, huh? How many people want to focus on your flesh? If you're going to focus on the flesh, why don't you just focus on your flesh? I don't want you focused on my flesh. But how the flesh is really conquered, brothers and sisters, is by the power of grace in the new man and living in the Spirit. And that's what verse 25 really brings and sets us up for in chapter 8. And we'll close with this. The power comes from the mind of Christ. Here's the power. It's the Word of God. That's your power. Hallelujah. It's the Word. It's all powerful. It's the sword. Hallelujah. His promises, my reality of who I am in Christ. Not who I think I am in this defeated vessel or at times, or who everybody else thinks I am in a no good piece of trash, but the reality of who I am in Christ. And it is a war. But it's the most precious, constant, fierce, raging war of our lives. Spirit versus flesh. The flesh is a wretched thing, and that is why someday this corruptible will put off completely one day and put on that incorruptible in heaven. But praise be to God. Let me tell you something. Don't despair. It's the most precious and only way of conquering into the ruling and reigning together with Him in the midst of the throne. Praise the Lord. And God willing, next week we'll come to chapter 8. And it really brings us into the power. And this is an 8, obviously, such a high water mark for all of our lives in a way. But it's the intro to the power to overcome the flesh by spirit living. The Holy Ghost life. That's really what this is going to bring in. The yielding power. And again, why do you yield to God? Because of love. Why do you yield more to God? Because love. Why do you come to Bible studies? Because love. Love. Yes, amen. You realize how much He loves you. And praise God, you want more of that love. Yes, you show him you love him by coming, don't get me wrong, but it's for you. You get more love. It's that truth in love. Praise his name. And there's nothing like it to change a man's heart like love. It completely will have you reverse your course, become new and changed. And you know what? In your life, when you're stuck, and we had a sermon on Sunday about being stuck, when you can't move on. And you know what that problem is? You lack love. It's the truth, and that's it. And when you lack love, you're not going to win him. You can't. It would be impossible. Because she is going to be full of all the fullness of God. And God is nothing but love. So connect those dots. And I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, if we didn't receive it on Sunday, receive it tonight. He could come. And it's not time, especially right now, for any root of bitterness. And no discipline, no duty, no knowledge can change a heart. Only love can do it. And that's the truth. And that's why the Holy Ghost was given to be in us. In us. Amen? That's right. In us. Because of power and power and power to live abundantly. Power to live abundantly in peace and rest and joy and long-suffering. And through and all through the growing in the knowledge of the love of Christ to us. Praise God. That's what it is. You grow in that love, and all of those things of the Spirit just continue to increase in your life. And he becomes and is your satisfaction alone. Praise be to God. All right, let's stand and be dismissed.